Thank you. That was lovely. I'm going to switch the order of our service a little bit today and talk about my lesson first, and then we'll do the meditation afterwards. And I think it'll make sense to you as we get there. So, what a wild time we're having lately, huh? When I was asked to come and speak today, I started to wonder, what am I going to talk about? It's usually there's some spiritual type of framework I want to put everything into, and it's all spirit anyway, so I guess that's always going to happen. But I started wondering, what could I say of value to anyone who's tuning in? And it's not like I'm a rookie. I've been up here over a dozen times over the years. So it's not something that I usually have a hard time finding something to talk about, but lately I'm just having trouble concentrating. I'm distracted a lot of the time. It's just hard to stay in my happy place. Here's an example of what I mean. Last Wednesday, we had our board meeting, and at the beginning, ever since the pandemic, what we've done is we've kind of checked in before we start our formal meeting, just saying how we feel at the moment, you know, just kind of briefly what's going on with us. And as usual, I go first, because I just do. And I was just saying that I've been feeling that day that it was really kind of pressing me to come to a board meeting Wednesday night. And I was just feeling, I don't need, you know, I just don't really feel like I wanted to give that time. And yet, I had nothing else to do. Nothing. And as soon as I said that, a couple of other people said, yeah, me too. You know, it's not like I've got a big social life or anything that this is taking the place of. It's just being focused to do some work that is a bit of a challenge for a lot of us. And actually, we all really like being together, so it's fun. I look forward to board meetings. Lovely people, we laugh, we have a good time, and get our work done. But once we got going, I felt great. But that anticipation of having to do something else was just a little bit of a stress for me. So anyone else feel the same way besides a few people that I've already talked to? Yeah, it seems that every time I pick up a newspaper or turn on the TV or listen to the radio in the car, I just feel like I'm bombarded by unsettling things. You know, things like the pandemic, first, and then the politics, and the environment, and the forest fires, and the species that are supposed to be disappearing, half of them in the next 30 years. I mean, you know, reading things like that is just pretty overwhelming, along with all the racial injustice and some of the violence that's occurred in some of the protests. It's just yikes. It's overwhelming some days. And in my house, we used to never watch morning TV. Just never turn the TV on in the morning. Never occurred to us to do that until the pandemic. Now we have to really consciously limit not if, but how long we're going to listen to the news in the morning. It's sort of like, you know, it's like you go by an accident or a train wreck and you go like this, but then you kind of spread your fingers so you can see through anyway. That's sort of the feeling I think that we have. And so it's not a good way to start the day. I'm the first one to admit that. And there are some days where, you know, we just don't, but we have to consciously think about that. And we're not successful a lot of the time. But I do read the Daily Word every day. I'll say that's an antidote for me, so I'm not completely lost. That does help. And I remind myself that the latest news flash is never the end of the story. So that helps too. So to be truthful, my life's actually going pretty well. I have nothing to complain about. We're healthy. We're feeling very fortunate that we both retired in the June before the pandemic broke out. So don't have to go to work. Don't have to worry about delivering services at the high school or anything else. It's just, you know, I mean, that part's good. My families are in good shape. Grandkids are doing viral education, and that's working well for them. And our dogs are just thrilled that we're always home. So that's another positive, you know. But in spite of about that, there's just a subtle drumbeat that's often in the background, and it threatens to keep me on my alert. You know, it's like if I really tune into myself, there's a little level of stress that's always kind of there that wasn't always there before. And I can distract myself from it, but sometimes it's just not that far from the surface. So it just takes more effort to stay optimistic. And I, for one, am usually a pretty optimistic person. When I make the effort, though, it's rewarded and it's possible. So we can still be happy, but it takes effort to do that more so. So I decided what I was going to talk to you today is about comforting ourselves. How to soothe, and how can we navigate this time, which is pretty historically different, isn't it? So I'm obviously talking about myself that I'm giving this lesson for, because I need to hear it as well and remind myself. And we deserve to be comforted. You know, it's okay to take care of ourselves, to take care of each other. So I'll be sharing some ideas that might be helpful to some of you. Hopefully everybody will find something that will have some meaning. You might want to try them for yourselves. These are things that have helped me and practices that you might want to adopt occasionally or try them out. And as always, what resonates with you, keep it, try it. And what doesn't, just let it go. No worries about that. First, I want to look at a big picture thing. And I'm going to read more of this because it's taken from a book that I've summarized a little bit, but I still think that you'll get more out of it if I read it. So I found these thoughts in a book I got through Unity. It's called New Thought for a New Millennium, 12 Powers in the 21st Century. And it is a book where different authors take a chapter, each one addressing one of the 12 powers that we're familiar with. So this one that I'm going to read was written by Robert Brunet, and he's talking about the power of power. Okay? And what he said is he talks about how humankind's abuse of power has caused great suffering. Not only humans suffer, but all species have suffered because of our abuse of power. It's caused the extinction of many species and disrupted the ecology of the planet itself. We must radically shift this abuse if we are to survive. He states that throughout our planet's history, we see an important principle at work. A crisis always precedes a transformation. Say that again. A crisis always precedes a transformation. At the time of the crisis, we are usually immersed in the belief that something is really wrong. Maybe everything seems really wrong some days. And only the perspective of time, sometimes years, do we see the crisis in a different context, the birthing of something radically new. Another visionary who saw our present crisis as part of an evolutionary requirement is Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest and paleontologist. He views the physical universe as part of the manifestation of ever-evolving consciousness, and the human species as an essential link in the orderly unfoldment of consciousness from the most primal ooze of the universe all the way through the culmination of its evolution, which Teilhard referred to as the Omega Point, which means the conscious oneness with God. He sees evolution as coming in stages with increasing complexity. At a certain critical point of higher complexity, evolution can make a quantum leap into an entirely new level of consciousness. He recognized the period immediately before the quantum leap as being very critical, very crucial, a time of great crisis. So for me, that gives meaning to our current crisis. Now, time will tell whether this is the crisis that precedes this great quantum leap into consciousness, the evolution of that, or whether it's just the beginning step of a march towards the evolution into great consciousness as oneness with God. We may be part of the quantum leap into the mega point, an uncomfortable but essential purpose for all of humanity. And if so, good for us. We signed up for this, I think. And so if we hold it in the idea that we are part of God's plan, because everything is God, we know that, and there is divine order in the universe, and maybe we are part of that transformation, and when it feels everything is in crisis, and yet it's just the point we're going to mature into our full awareness of our connection with Spirit. So that makes me feel better. And it's something that, to me, is, I like that big picture, and it's just something that I've been thinking a lot about. I appreciate the big picture philosophical ideas, but let's get to some more practical ideas now that might be comforting and helpful to us right now, okay? You all know I'm going to talk about meditation, because that's what we do at Unity, at least in theory. Meditation can take many forms, and all of them are correct for the person who enjoys and employs them. Some people like to focus on their breath and become still and relaxed, often a way to become aware of the spirit within. Some like to take a walking meditation, becoming fully present or mindful, practicing mindfulness on a walk, maybe through nature or maybe through a city street or maybe driving in a car, but to be fully present while walking. Some of us enjoy being led into a relaxed and meditative state by listening to a recorded meditation or spoken meditation, sometimes with music or not. I've tried all of those things, and they all have value. I personally like a lot of variety, and so, you know, you don't have to just stick with one, but try them. There's a chanting meditation that's practiced in the Buddhist tradition. We, in our past here, when we have a CD that's a Sri Ram chant. A lot of you who have been here for a while might remember that, and I was thinking maybe we should do that again. Maybe. And that's it's another way to center yourself and get out of yourself so you can really feel closer to spirit. You may have discovered all kinds of other methods that work for you. I'm not giving you an exclusive list, but meditation does really, really help to calm us. Sometimes I just sit quietly in a comfortable chair at home and hold my hands on my heart and saying a word or a mantra repeatedly. Kind of helps stop the monkeys in the brain, you know, that sometimes interfere. Sometimes I'll just say love over and over, or peace, sometimes Jesus, whatever I choose to do at that time. And it does make me feel very relaxed and very oblivious to everything else except my heart, my heartbeat. Sometimes just listen to your heartbeat can be also a way into a deeper space. So the purpose of meditation is to quiet our mind so it's open to connect with the spirit within. I think that's kind of it in a nutshell. You have to make a space for spirit and welcome it in. Highly recommended as a daily practice and certainly as a method to calm us in these anxious times. And one suggestion, if you meditate on gratitude, peace and happiness isn't too far behind. I like to compare meditation to how we experience our world. If we live from the outward to the inward, there is stress of the world. We bring it in. If we live from the inward to the outward, we can experience peace in the world. A question or a hint for us control freaks: which can you have control over, your inner world or your outer world? Answer, we can always control our thoughts. Maybe nothing else, but we can always control our thoughts. Which means, brings me to another possibility for feeling good and raising our consciousness. Have you ever heard of Esther and Jerry Hicks? They are the authors of Ask and It Is Given, as well as many other books, including a series for children. And they're teaching the law of attraction as communicated by Abraham. And Abraham is a group of highly evolved spiritual teachers who are not in a body on the non-physical side of life, who communicate through Esther Hicks. Do some reading if you're inclined. It's well worth your time. I just brought out some of my materials from them this week as I was preparing, because it just occurred to me. You know how you come and go with different authors and different things? And I just remembered them, so I thought, yeah, I think there's something there that I want to revisit. They teach us ways to create happiness and success by using our thoughts to connect with our source. They remind us that we came from a source of well-being, and that we can either summon that higher vibrational energy to ourselves and allow it to flow unimpeded through our lives, or we can resist it, and by resisting, stay disconnected from that which is all-providing and all-loving. When we are matched up with that energy of peace and love, we begin to regain the power of our source, which is the power to realize well-being, prosperity, divine guidance, the power to manifest our desires, and so on. Without giving a long lecture about the process, here is the nutshell version. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Start by paying attention to your current thoughts. You might be saying things to yourself like, the world is going downhill more and more. No one tells the truth anymore. The pandemic will just keep getting worse. I'm sure I'll get COVID. If so, those are the kinds of thoughts you've been ruminating on. Ask yourself how you feel when you're thinking those thoughts. Those are low vibrational thoughts. Generally, you don't like the way you feel when you're thinking those things. So you have the freedom to create some new scripts, some new thoughts to say to yourself. You don't even have to believe them at first. That's the magic. You say the thoughts, you construct them, and you repeat them, but you don't even have to believe them yet. How about changing some thoughts too? People are changing for the better in every generation. The new generation seems very committed to improving the planet and the experience of everybody, inclusive of everybody, regardless of where their country is, where they're from, the color of their skin, their gender. All things are inclusive. You could also think about, I just love seeing the colorful fall leaves. Makes me happy to see them. I am strong and healthy with a great immune system. I love to smile at people that I meet. The grocery clerks at the market are so helpful. Puget Sound is such a wonderful place to live. The rain keeps everything green. Those are higher vibrational thoughts. And now check out how you feel. Keep choosing the thoughts that make you feel good. That's what the Hicks and Abraham teaching. If you're feeling not as positive or energized or good as you would like to, examine your thoughts, recreate some thoughts that are better, and see how you feel. You might feel a little bit better, but then you can come up with another way to phrase things. And so you keep working with it and working with it until you feel wonderful. And you can do that. Take some effort, but it's amazing, the difference. And then you do believe what you say. You don't have to start out that way, though. So another way to describe what I just talked about from Abraham is to use affirmations. And again, affirmations are part of our practice. The daily word is filled with affirmations. You know, the beginning line of every daily word is an affirmation. So if you have a daily word copy, or if you want to find one online, and you're having trouble finding a positive affirmation, and affirmations are positive, just go to the daily word. It makes it easy for you. Here's a couple of titles that I pulled out of the October daily word that you might relate to. because this is an easy way to start practicing affirmations. My devotion inspires me to serve. I am lighthearted and carefree. I am filled with unlimited strength. I am fearless as I live authentically. I am centered in spirit. My life is in divine order. My imagination sets me free. God loves and comforts me. So let's move on to expressions of gratitude. And that's going to be my last suggestion before our meditation. This is guaranteed to help us in stressful times. You remember I don't know how long ago, but Oprah was talking about gratitude journals, and authors had talked, there was kind of a trend, people were talking about it. Well, there have been recent studies in the last decade about the positive results, scientific studies from people who practice gratitude. And here are some of their findings. People will like you more if you are grateful. It will deepen your friendships and inspire people to want to be with you. Number two, you will sleep better. Better. Thinking of what you are grateful for helps you sleep longer and more rested. Another results in lower levels of depression and less suicide ideation, feeling less resentments and envy. Four, there are links to lower blood pressure, improved immunity, and fewer aches and pains. Who couldn't use that? And the last one that I am going to share is gratitude is pivotal in managing stress and promotes mental strength. They found that Vietnam vets with high levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And all people who practice gratitude feel higher self-esteem. All things benefiting from gratitude practice. So that's about all I've got before we go into our meditation. I've saved the best for last, which is meditation. So we're going to get relaxed. Find a comfortable place if you're not already in one. You might want to, I always like to, there's no correct way, but when I'm meditating, I don't like any blood flow stop, so I don't cross my arms or my feet, because then you'll have to move them during meditation. So you can just sit in a comfortable position. And start to focus on your breath. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Let it out slowly. Take another easy, deep breath and let it out slowly as you feel your whole body begin to relax. And think about your breathing. Think about your breathing, relaxing your body, breathing in relaxing energy along with the oxygen. Now imagine this relaxing energy beginning to flow from the top of your head, down over your face, relaxing your eye muscles, flowing over your cheeks and your mouth. All the muscles around your mouth are relaxed. Feel it flowing down your throat and your neck muscles, releasing any tension that you might feel. As it flows over and through your shoulders, releasing any tension. And now you experience that relaxing energy flowing down through your chest and back muscles, down your arms, and into the tips of your fingers. Feel the relaxation flowing down through your abdomen, down through your hips and thighs, into your calves and ankles, and down through the tips of your toes, creating a wonderful feeling of peace and relaxation. And now imagine you're in a forest in late October. The day is picture perfect. There's a blue sky. Leaves have turned red and golden yellow. Some have fallen to cover the path, creating a rustling sound as you walk on them. Breathe in the fresh air, fragrant with fallen leaves and a faint scent of wood smoke from nearby cabin fireplaces. The air is cool, but comfortable. It invigorates you, hinting at the change of seasons in the winter ahead. You continue on the path ahead, further into the forest. You become aware of the cheerful sounds of birds seeming to welcome you, and the chattering of squirrels as they work toward gathering nuts for the coming winter days. You feel energized by the beauty surrounding you, and also peaceful and calmed by the harmony all around. Now the path turns to the left, and you follow it to arrive at a small cabin on the bank of a gently moving stream. There's a soft light in the window and a thin plume of smoke curling up from the chimney. You approach and find the door slightly open and a sign welcoming travelers to enter. So you enter and you find yourself the only visitor in the room. The room feels so warm and inviting, as if created just for you. A crackling fire in the fireplace, a comfortable easy chair by the fire. There's a cozy blanket on the chair and shelves filled with books all around. You make yourself comfortable in the chair, spreading out the blanket on your lap, looking around the room, feeling relaxed and grateful for the perfection of it all. Your eyes are drawn to a large photo album on a nearby shelf, and you reach for it. There's a title written on the cover in gold lettering, saying, "My Gratitudes." You open the cover and find an instruction that reads, "If you have opened this album, please fill the book with the blessings you've received, and they will come back to you for eternity. You need nothing to write with, just begin." So you turn the first page with curiosity. The page is blank, so you start to think, "What blessings have I received?" Your first thought of being born is of being born, and instantly a picture appears on the blank page of a baby being born and greeted by excited parents, and you're feeling their love. You turn to the next page, and then you remember receiving your first puppy. And another picture appears, and as you gaze at the picture, you feel the joy and love you felt for your new friend. Other memories are coming into your awareness, and as they do, the blank pages become filled with pictures. Take some time now to explore your blessings with gratitude and watch them fill your memory pages. Don't forget the little things as well as the big ones, like when you laughed with friends, when you freely gave, when you received forgiveness. Remember who taught you, who loved you, who comforts you. Breathe in each page, each blessing. I'll leave you for a few moments.
And now, as you hold the book next to your heart, feel yourself slowly coming back from the cabin. Begin coming back now. Wakeful energy moving through your body. Take a nice breath of air, wiggling your toes, breathing in wakeful energy, bringing your memories and gratitude with you. And when you're ready, open your eyes and be fully back. And we have some more music.